This is the article, Why the V in Java? This is the article, Java and Why the V in Java? Stephan Yah speaking here. Going to Isaiah 44, verse 8, talking about idolatry, talking about who is the pure, eternal, mighty one, whom we should praise, lift up, and exalt. Isaiah 44, and 8 through 19, most of the verses from 8 to 19 here, to save time. Fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time, and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a mighty one beside me? Yes, there is no mighty one. I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not know, that they may be ashamed. Who has formed an Elohim, or molten a graven image, that is profitable for nothing? Behold, for all fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs, both worketh in the coals. And then we'll skip down here a little bit. And he burns part of the in the fire. 17. And the residue thereof he maketh an Elohim, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worships it, and prays unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my Elohim. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considers in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding, to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, and I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand? Oh, we want to continue here. Verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Yahweh is speaking here. Sing, O you heavens, for Yahweh has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, and every tree thereof. Therein, for Yahweh has redeemed Jacob, and magnified himself in Israel. Thus saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am Yahweh that maketh all things, and stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. And those were different scriptures from Isaiah chapter 44. Is there a mighty one like me? There is none. Yahweh says, and as to the pronunciation of that mighty name above all names, Yahweh, it's not a question as to how accurately you pronounce each syllable of our Heavenly Father so much. It's not a question as to how accurately we pronounce Yahweh. The difficulty is not in articulating His name, but in the misspelling of the name from the Tetragrammaton. Let's read Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, Exodus 3. Moving from Isaiah. When Moses asked Yahweh his name, he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of the Hebrews, I am that I am, Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers. Most versions disguise Yahweh's name with the title Lord. In the book The Scriptures and in Torah manuscripts, you should see the four letters YHVH. Exodus 3:16. Go and gather the Hebrew elders together and say unto them, Yahweh of your fathers, the mighty one of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me. That's in the same chapter, chapter 3 there, of Exodus. The Tetragrammaton in proper Antioch Hebrew scrolls spells YHVH, pronounced Yahweh. Now to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23:26. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies, which think to cause my people to forget my name, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal? So this is applicable to today. The ministers have caused the people to forget Yahweh's name. Now they replace it with Adonai, with Lord, all these different substitutions. If we look in the concordance, in Strong's concordance under Lord, which is Hebrew word 1167, Lord in English, Lord for Baal, a master, husband, owner, Lord. 1168, that's the next word down, Baal, a Phoenician deity. So Lord is 1167, Baal is 1168. Actually, Lord is 1167 also. Lord for Baal, a master, husband, owner, Lord. Baal, 1168, the same as 1167. It says the same as 1167. Baal, a Phoenician deity. Baal, plural, Baalim, B-A-A-L-I-M. So, Jeremiah said, as he was inspired by the Almighty Yahweh, he said, how long shall this be in the heart of the people that prophesy lies, which think to cause my people to forget my name? Next, let's go to Hosea. We have a couple of selections. In chapter 2, we'll begin. Chapter 2, 16. And it shall be at that day, says Yahweh, thou shalt call me Ishi, my husband, and shalt call me no more Baal, my lord. For I will take away the names of Balaam, her lords, out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. Baal, or Lord, was the name of the Elohim of pagan Babylon. See the book by C.J. Koster, Come Out of Her, My People. C.J. Koster, K-O-S-T-E-R. Click over to www.ISR, that's for the Institute of Scripture Research, ISR-Messianic.org for some teaching. This article I am reading off of the website Yahweh.name. It's found in printed form in the left-hand column. All the text forms are in the left column. All the audio files are in the right column. All the recordings are over here on the right, hopefully corresponding to the text messages, the text forms, rather, and files that are on the left. Well, I hope that didn't confuse anybody there. Sorry about that. Now let's go to Zechariah, more popularly. But Zechariah 14, verse 3, chapter 14, 3, which says, Then shall Yahweh go forth, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, and Yahweh, our Mighty One, shall come, and all the true believers with him. There's prophetic chapter, Zechariah 14. If you're a student of the Word, you know that the one coming back to the Mount of Olives is the Savior. The prophet Zechariah called him by the name of Yahweh. Actually, that's the Messiah, Yahusha, commonly in the longer form Yahusha, commonly referred to as Yeshua, in English as Jesus, in Latin Jesus, or Jesus rather, or other names. Ho in Yahusha means salvation of Yahweh. Yahweh constitutes the entire name of the Creator, and the name Yah is the contracted form. The name Yahusha, or Yahusha, actually with the accent on the first syllable, Yahusha has the Hebrew word salvation. And that is an inspired word we see there in the book of Joshua. Yahusha, and throughout the scriptures. Yahweh is an inspired name of the Heavenly Father, is the inspired name, rather. And we can find that throughout scripture at least 7,000 times. We can find Yahweh 7,000 times in Scripture, at least we're in the modern Scriptures where it says Lord. That should be Yahvah, Y-A-H-V-A-H, or the Tetragrammaton more specifically, which is Y-H-V-H. And this is going to get technical. We're going to be reading from some dictionaries, some Jewish dictionaries and encyclopedias. And if it's a little too much for you to be listening, then just please go to the published article on our website, YahvahYahweh.name. Yahvah, Yahusha is the Messiah, or Yahvahusha, in the longer form. Look under the article Messiah, Messiah, the name of Messiah, to find out more about Yahusha or Yahvahusha. Neither is there salvation in any other name. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Also see in Joel 2:32. Joel declared that the name whereby we must receive salvation is Yahvah. Truly, even in the New Covenant. It's repeated throughout the Scriptures. We accept the older Scriptures and the newer ones. In fact, they're all older. They're all at least 2,000 years old, so that's pretty old. Matthew chapter 6 says, Our Father, which art in heaven, separated be thy name. Matthew 6. Acts chapter 2, which you've heard many, many times. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yahvah, in the name of Yahusha, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. And on that text there, I need to retype in Yahusha. There we go. I had Yahvah HaMashiach, which is technically correct, but more specifically it should be Yahusha, and that's according to our studies to this date. We keep studying, don't we? We find out other things, and then we change. And some would argue with that, well, but our original study was inspired, so we're not going to change, but it was inspired by the Spirit. So if we change, it'll show that it wasn't inspired, and then we'll be embarrassed, and it will prove that it wasn't, that we didn't have the correct inspiration to begin with. But we're not going to be that stubborn or full of that kind of pride to, you know, just stand on, well, we said this the first time and we're not going to ever change again. No, we're going to have to change, not according to the times or according to some new weird interpretation or something, but according to our study as we go deeper into Yahvah's Word. We're not afraid to be that flexible, at least to correct ourselves, to pick ourselves up and say, whoops, made a mistake there. We need to correct ourselves. So this is not a study that is set in stone forever, because we just will have to keep researching on that. If it were a dogmatic thing where we could look up in the Word of Yahvah in the Scriptures and say, now this verse here says, we read it, it's verbatim, and it interprets itself, then we're not going to change at all in that, of course, obviously. Remember, in the Messiah's time, there was no English, no Latin, no letters J or W. And in Acts, you know the name of the Savior. We read Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven. And that name is Yahusha. Inspired name from Scripture. The inspired. Why do I keep saying I don't mean to do that. In our article, in the text on the left-hand column there on our website, on the home page, we're reading the article, Yahvah. And is Yahvah the name? Then down here, it looks like about page 2, it says it's Jesus, a better name than Yahvahusha. I think we've already covered this in Messiah and the Name. On that section there, is Jesus a better name than Yahvahusha? And what is not his name? Certainly we know what his name is not, so we're not going to keep sticking with that because we don't know precisely what the Messiah's name is. No, we're not going to just keep using a name because everyone else knows the Messiah by that name. That is incorrect. Why stick to that? That's error. That's not truth. That's not respect for our Savior. That's disrespect, and that's taking his name in vain. But I want to skip that article. I believe that's, I'm almost positive that's in Messiah and the name. Well, that's got to be in that article. Of course it is. So we'll just go down here a little bit here to the beginning. You know, skip about a page and go to the beginning. Yahweh or Yahweh. What would it matter if the letters and the words didn't mean anything? It makes all the difference in the world which name we call on to be saved. Acts chapter 2. Otherwise, we could change any letter we wish. Just call him anything or put in a J or any letter we wish. No, we love Yahweh. Here's the proof that Yahweh is correct. The V, not the W, came first. And here are just some nearly 30 witnesses. Resources proving that the V came before the W. And once again, this is not, I hope I can say this right, it's not a the end of all studies. Because more research could continually be dug up. Well, we dig it up, okay? We might take many hours looking these references up, but we've... And you could do that if you're interested. See the reference pages in a good library. The final proof is in the original documents. The Hebrew letters read from right to left. Now here's a few references to Yahweh. A few excerpts. The Hebrew English Hebrew Dictionary by Waldstein. And it is under alphabet, A for alphabet, vowel equals V. Notice there's no W nor a double V. Secondly, the Standard Jewish Encyclopedia, 1962, under Tetragrammaton, the term generally used to designate the name YHWH, traditionally not pronounced by Jews and formerly misread Jehovah by Christians, and by many Jews as well in the 20th century. See also God, Names of. YHWH, the Tetragrammaton, or Shem Ha Mephorash, was the particular name of the God of Israel and occurs nearly 7,000 times in the scriptures. Yahweh has been conjectured. Other biblical terms include Elyon, the Most High, which was the Canaanite appellation for their supreme deity. Wow, it said it all right there. And that reference, that authentication here is the Standard Jewish Encyclopedia under the category of Tetragrammaton, which is spelled Tetra, T-E-T-R-A, Grammaton is, and it's all one word, G-R-A-M-M-A-T-O-N, Tetragrammaton. Okay, our third resource now is the New Standard Jewish Encyclopedia, and it says the name Yahweh. See also G-O-D and Names of. Next, the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia of New York, 1943, under the category Tetragrammaton, Yod He Vav He. The Hebrew Study Manual by Samuel Baxter. Put that back. The Alphabet, page 3, it says Vav equals V. There's no W or double U. Sixth, the New Jewish Encyclopedia, Tetragrammaton, where it says Jewish mystics were thought to have known how to pronounce the Tetragrammaton and how to make mysterious use of it. Christians erroneously pronounce the word Jehovah, and modern scholarship suggests that its original pronunciation was Yahweh. Note, there isn't any W. They were using Yahweh. I don't know why they would do that. Yah is actually the contracted form of the name of our Creator. Okay, next we'll go to the 26 letters. Oscar Og says the three There we go. The three missing letters J, U, and W were not used by the Romans at all. The U and W developed from V about 1,000 years ago, and the J developed from the letter I about 500 years ago. Thus, the W came in mind about 971 A.D. or B.C.E., 971 B.C.E. Page 74 shows a chart of hieratic Phoenician letters with no W, just a V. And that was in 1160 B.C. Page 105 shows a Greek-Latin chart where there's no W, just a V at the bottom right of the Greek-Latin chart. And page 109, another chart, it includes the V. There's another proof. So far we've had seven proofs. The eighth proof is from the Lost Languages by P.E. Cleeton. It says the expansion of V into U and W and the differentiation of I and J were later developments which took place in the 10th and 14th centuries respectively. Yes, we're to esteem Yahweh's excellent name. Esteem his name forever. Ninth reference, number 9, Hebrew in 10 Minutes a Day by Christine Kershaw, 1992. And this chart includes the V, but no W. Hebrew in 10 Minutes a Day, Christine Kershaw. 10th, the Encyclopedia of Religion, God in the Hebrew Scriptures, YHVH. This tetragrammaton attested more than 6,600 times in the Scriptures, obviously. Page 218, alphabets, under the Hebrew Vav equals V, not W, under the Arabic letter equals a comma, name Wow, this is evidence of W. And a later time we may quote a few of the five other references on this W. The purpose of the W is to pronounce Yahweh instead of Yahweh. 11, the first Hebrew primer for adults. First Hebrew primer, 1993. And the pronunciation chart, V as in vine. It says Vav, V-A-V. It shows the book, print, block, and script additionally. 12, the Hebrew student manual. Category, the alphabet. Vav equals V. 13, the modern Hebrew, a first year course by Harry Blumberg. Modern Hebrew. The alphabet, this chart shows a V, no W. Next, the Jewish Word Book by Sidney Jacob in 1982, a compendium of popular Yiddish and Hebrew words and phrases that color our vocabulary. And it says Yahweh, and they left out an H, Yahweh, YHVH, the equivalent of Jehovah, parenthesis G-O-D. 15, the Hebrew pictographic chart by Living Word Pictures, Vav, and to add, to secure, nail, peg, V. There's no W listed in the Hebrew pictographic chart. So far we've had the instance of one W showing up, and that was introduced by the Arabs. 16, the alphabet, Hebrew for all. Hebrew for all is our 16th reference. By Harold Levy, L-E-V-Y, available from the Assembly of Yahweh in Stillwell, Oklahoma. Vav, V as in that. The Assembly of Yahweh at that time was P.O. Box 1010, Stillwell, Oklahoma, zip 74960. Next, we have the letter from the Block Publishing Company, the Jewish Book Concern of New York, to Mr. Elder Snow. Dear Mr. Snow, with reference to your inquiry, do not have material explaining the way Sephardic Jews transliterated or pronounced the Hebrew alphabet, but according to our knowledge, the Vav is pronounced as a V by Sephardic Jews. I may be mispronouncing Sephardic, S-E-P-H-A-R-D-I-C. Jews, J-E-W-S. That's you and I. Sincerely yours, Block Publishing Company. Next, the alphabet and letter. That's www.alphabetandletter.com. Hebrew.html. Search for J, V, and W in the URL. Okay, I forget what that is. Alphabetandletter.com. The proof of the W in Yahweh is from the theory that Hebrew is only vowel sounds. Another source is the St. Joseph textbook, The Holy Bible, Confraternity Version, copyright 1963. On the inside cover, halfway down in big letters, Yahweh is written. Yahweh with the all-seeing eye, and that's a Kabbalistic symbol which should cause the believer to turn away from it. In future articles, we're going to address, very soon now, the notion of, in Hebrew, all vowels and no consonants. The booklet, A Study of the Separated Name by Bill Burton, will be examined. And a large part of that book, actually, of Bill Burton's works are great, except for this part. Yeah. There are a few proofs and references in that booklet, and listing them, first, the reference for the W in the separated name to make Yahweh. The first reference is the Encyclopedia Judaic, Volume 7. Secondly, the New Jewish Encyclopedia, 1975. Third, the Columbia Encyclopedia. Fourth, the Grote Winkler Prinz Encyclopedia under the title Yahweh. Other evidence is given. Other evidence. Sixth, the Interpreter's Bible Dictionary, Volume 4. Or, I guess, it wasn't sixth, that was fifth. Sixth is Ripley's Believe It or Not in the Separated Name. Title, Separated Name, Ripley's Believe It or Not. The evidence for the W is also the following. In our seventh reference here for the W, where did the name of Jehovah come from? From the Northwest Synod of Wisconsin Resource Center. And so that's seven references. There must be more, but we have more for the V than we do for the W. So we had 20. Well, I only gave you 18. There are in our library there are 24, but I think that there were. I believe that there were 30, and I can't find them anymore. So we're going to... Anyway, we have a greater cloud of witnesses here. We have 24 witnesses. Well, we had 18, to be honest, for this broadcast. We just had 18, but that outnumbered the references for the W, which doesn't prove that our case is right for the V, just having a greater number of witnesses. But it would seem to... give the greater weight of evidence that the V is correct, that Yahweh is correct over Yahweh, the more popular Yahweh that's even found in the Catholic hymn books from time to time. And that might kind of put up a red flag, in fact. But we have more evidence that the name Yahweh, not Yahweh, is correct. The scriptures quoted are from the King James Version or from the scriptures. This document, Why the V in Yahweh, was originally written in English. Email correspondence to Stephen Yah, Stephen Yah, at yahweh.name. And allow a few weeks for a response, as we have a lot of other things going on. And we pray that this article about the true name, Yahweh, will bless us. The spirit of Yahweh, the Ruach HaKadosh, will inspire us to go on and study deeper and show us the truth. May He open our hearts to what His Word and not man's Word has to say. We need His Word and not necessarily my opinion. My opinion is I believe the Scriptures are all true. After that article, Yahweh is the name. Why the V in Yahweh? There are also articles... auxiliary articles. One of them is Come Out of Her, My People by C.J. Coster. And we go through some of the 300 references that just a few corrupt words are found in the scriptures today, in the English scriptures, I should say, and that we should change our vocabulary to acceptable words. I'll read some of those words there, but just 30 corrupt words are found. Just about 30 corrupt words. And some of the references, there's just too many there. 300 of them, you know. But one of them is the Encyclopedia Biblica, Science and Religion, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, Dictionary of Mythology, Folklore and Symbols, World Book Encyclopedia, Antiqua und Christendom, German there, Concise Oxford Dictionary, History of Religious Ideas. Oh, well, there are many. And there are only 24 references to authenticate and prove that Jesus and Christ are of a different origin, that we don't want to, you know, we don't want to use those names when we studied it out. We have shown and believed that the original spelling of the Savior's name is Yahusha, and in the longer form, Yavahusha. Yava is the tetragrammaton name of your Heavenly Father, and Yahusha of the Son. Ho is bringing salvation. Shah means Savior. The suffix Shah in Yahusha is Savior, or having salvation. Yasha is 3442. Yasha. Yava is the tetragrammaton for our Heavenly Father, is Hebrew word 3068. H stands for Hebrew, and G stands for the Greek words. H stands for Hebrew words in the concordant numbers. 3068. H 3068 means Yava. And you don't have to remember that, by the way. If somebody is out there new, that just doesn't have a clue what we're talking about in the first place. First of all, we need to know how to be saved, how to repent of our sins. What are sins? You know, we read the Torah, we read the Scriptures, and we don't need necessarily to start in Genesis chapter 1 and go all the way through the Scriptures to Revelation 22 before we're even saved. You know, we need to, first of all, go to, I would suggest John chapter 3, how to be born again by the water and the Spirit. The Spirit of the Messiah, Yahweh HaMashiach, HaMashiach meaning Savior, meaning Messiah, Acts chapter 2, 38, Romans 10, 9, if we confess with our mouth that Yahusha is the Mighty One, above all mighty ones, the Creator, and if we believe in our heart, then we are saved. If we repent of our sins, we are saved. Not either or, but all of the above. We must repent. Be immersed. We must follow all the Scriptures, actually. All those dealing with salvation, actually, to become saved. We need to trust in the salvation in the blood of our Messiah, Yahusha, for the remission of our sins. Trust in His resurrection for eternal life. So we trust in His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection for complete forgiveness of sins, for deliverance, for eternal salvation. One more article is corruptions of religious words that we used in the Scriptures, in the Bibles, and these are demonstrated in the C.J. Coster book, The Final Reformation, or Come Out of Her, My People, and some of those words are amen, charity. Let's see what else we have here. The Christ, we studied Christ, cross, crucify, deity, divine, Easter. Now that should be a red flag right there. To look up an older encyclopedia and find out the origin of the word Easter, where did that come from? It's a Phoenician Sidonian sex goddess. Yes, it is. And it was not used before that by the Hebrews, because why would they use the word Ashtoreth or Easter? They already had other words for our Heavenly Father, rather. They had Yahweh. And, you know, they wouldn't have needed to use any pagan words, words that later became pagan, words that later were invented by the pagans and that were used by pagans. They wouldn't have needed to have used any of those. We can look up for the word Ashtoreth or Easter. We can look up 1 Kings 11. We can look up Jeremiah 7 and Jeremiah 44. Easter, or E-O-S-T-R-E, Easter, the Teutonic dawn goddess. But we should observe Yahweh's feast of Passover, feast of unleavened bread, including we must be cognizant of the resurrection day, Aviv 17, and it's a day of the month, not a day of the week, Aviv 17, 17th of Aviv, the first year on Yahweh's calendar. It's not a day of the week as Sunday. Let's see, another word is Elohim. We can look at that here on our website and study that out. Not enough time to really go into depth and do it justice to really study that out today. Most people agree that that it should be used. If you can, go to the original, what they think is the original scrolls. What are the original scrolls? And they think that they have proven that it's okay to use it. But it can be a Canaanite female fertility goddess. So why would that be? Why would that be used for Yahweh's title, Elohim? Yeah. I think I at least would take a warning from that, from all the documents, all the research that has been done that show that Elohim is a Canaanite female fertility goddess. I think that would be enough warning just to be cautious about that and probably not to use it until we can prove beyond all doubt, or at least beyond the shadow of a doubt, that it is not what these other documents have proven that it is. Fertility goddess, no. Flee from that. Okay, some of the other words, G-O-D, the title G-O-D, we find that in C.J. Coster's book, Come Out of Her, My People. Grace. Well, they're just 30 words anyway. H-O-L-Y, another one. Yeah, even in regard to the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Okay. L-O-R-D, luck, master, sacrament, sacred, sanctified, sanctuary, testament, theos, Yahweh. What? Let's see. See our article, Why the V, Not W, in Yahweh. Okay. The V in Yahweh is correct, at least to our research at this point. Some people would say, well, you can't use research, you've got to use inspiration. But there is no one on earth, including Mr. Armstrong, who is greater in being correct by any kind of inspiration from any sort of spirit. I would not take that as being proof. I would take these documents and I would take Scripture as being the full authority over any man on earth who claims to have some sort of special inspiration from the Spirit, that he would hold that as being doctrine over Yahweh's word. I'm not going to follow man. I'm going to follow Scripture in as much as I can study, as much as Yahweh allows me to. So we say these things lovingly, and love doesn't necessarily mean that it wouldn't be offensive. Some people call that hate speech. They'd say that a bunch of Baptists going to Sunday school, sharpening their pencils for Sunday school, or a bunch of Sabbath keepers sharpening their pencils for Sabbath school, that they were going there to learn ideas of hate, you know, and sing songs to the Messiah, all those old songs. Would they classify those as hate songs, or maybe would they classify the Sermon on the Mount as being a hate sermon? Matthew chapter 5 there. I'll close with that, and let's see whether or not anybody could make that passage as being a hate passage of Scripture. Anything in Scripture. Now, Yahweh is the one who determines what is right and wrong, what is hateful, and what is beautiful, and He defines our behavior. The intent of our heart should be focused on Yahweh and His Scripture and His ways. As we are inspired, in other words, we are inspired by the Spirit, He opens up our heart and mind and eyes to be able to see that that is the truth. Otherwise, if we were not inspired, then we could just be like the guy across the street, the pagan guy, I guess, if there is one like that over there, who reads the Scripture and he says, this is all mush. This is nothing. This doesn't mean anything. And he would say that faith is just something that ain't necessarily so, that you know is not necessarily so. That would be faith to him, to his definition. But the Sermon on the Mount, and we're just going to read the Beatitudes here in chapter 5, or you can find them, I think it's in Luke 5 as well. But in Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers. The shalom. Oop, shalom makers there. Don't get into a fight with a microphone. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of Yahweh. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's the Beatitudes. So I think I need to close up here for now. Stefan Yah with you on this file, Yahweh. And why the V in Yahweh was the larger category there. My email again is StephanYah@Yahweh.name. Once again, StephanYah@Yahweh.name. NAME.com will not work. I'll be doing the scriptures again. I really wanted to. Okay, well, as a tag, I'm going to do this. This is a kind of a negative thing here, but. All right, then. Hate speech again. Here we go. This is, everybody gather around the radio. Sharpen up your pencils. We're going to sing some hate songs. And no, we will not do that. That's absurd. This is from the FRC, the FRC Action Letter of the Family Research Council. And they put out a letter here in the second month of the year 2011. And they are warning about Planned Parenthood, that they have the book out. That is a new sex education guide for children titled Happy, Healthy, and Hot. And using discretion here, if you have any young people there, you may not want them to hear this, but it's not going to get real bad. No worse than your television, and you don't want a TV going anyway. But it says there are a lot of different ways to have that S word and lots of different types of S. There is no right or wrong way to have S. Just have fun and explore and be yourself. And then it says to talk dirty. Another 2010 Planned Parenthood report, Stand and Deliver, Sex, Health, and Young People in the 21st Century, attacks fundamentalist and other religious groups. Well, it's something that the FRC or the Family Research Council is standing up for the cause. They sometimes send out weekly letters pleading for people to, come to the aid and help out. However, they're always asking for donations as well, so that part of that bothers me a lot. And I don't really believe in sending that much of an offering. I don't send that much money annually. Sometimes I just sign the letter off. And, I signed it and sent it without any money in there. So, perhaps you've given thousands of dollars, but, to the cause. But that's a tough subject for most people these days, because they think that's being hateful. But if you go by the standards of Yahweh's word that we were just reading, then I think that we need to adhere to Yahweh's standards and his morality, to the standards of the Ten Commandments. And of those two great commandments, to love Yahweh first of all, and if there's any conflict or question about it, to love Yahweh first, and secondly, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to the second coming of Yahweh. Join with us once again And praise Yahweh today. Maranatha. Hallel Yahweh. Shalom.